saved, but I received eternal life. I received everlasting life. And on the story goes. But I always like to say that I became a new creation in Christ. That's important, and they all pretty much mean similar. But I keep reading more and more about so many of our church people, so-called Christians, and we live in a state, and it's the end of the state where most everybody you meet are saved. But I've used the terminology anymore. Have you become a new creation in Christ? I used to use everlasting life till I run into a Jehovah Witness just recently, and they have everlasting life. They're going to spend it all here. They don't want to leave here. They don't want to go to a place called heaven. And so on, I said, well, I have to stay with the philosophy of being a new creation in Christ. And neighbor, when that happens, it's real. It'll change your life. Psalm 118, we'll begin reading in verse number 22. The stone which the builders refused has become the head stone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Father, I pray that you'd quiet my heart this morning. Speak to me and then speak through me, Lord. We would see Jesus today. Lord, years ago I typed up a part of a verse and put it on the podium in front of me so that every time I stood up, it says, we would see Jesus, those men coming. And looking at the disciples said, we're looking for the Lord. And that's what folks need today. They don't need Jack Wynn. They don't need necessarily hear him or what he may have to say or his philosophy. But we would see Jesus today. And I pray, Father, today that you'll help me to present Jesus Christ in all of his glory now. We ask it in his name. Amen. Verse number 24. If I preach from a psalm, I generally read the whole psalm. But for sake of time this morning, and I know we've got 24 hours in a day, but I've always probably been too concerned about the time. But verse 24 says, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will, the Bible says, we will rejoice and be glad in it. I found out years ago that the thing that most people are really looking for is a thing called happiness, joy, peace, contentment. Now, they're looking for other things to have that, but when the real root of the problem or the real root of the difficulty is they're looking for that thing called happiness. They're looking for money to fill that void and things to fill that void and so on. They're looking for drugs to fill that void. You know, suicide in our country has increased about 25% the last 10 or 12 years. Suicide. A lot of those people committing suicide, I discount the military. The military, a lot of those folks every day committing suicide. But when those folks go into the military, and I'm not going to dwell there, but I feel many times they're brainwashed and they see things that me and you will never see in our life if we lived 150 years. They see things. They have trouble getting over that. But I'm talking about young people. I'm talking about the average person that we meet on a day-to-day person. Suicide is a horrible thing. It's great among our teens. And of all the people in this world that ought to be looking forward to having a wonderful day and a wonderful life, it ought to be our teens and so on. I remember the first time I ever go visit a family and encourage a family and preach the funeral of a teen, the first time a teen committed suicide in my ministry. It was tough. It was hard. Most parents has no idea why those things happen. But happiness is something. Unhappiness, somebody says, is the most common state of mind. Statistics tell us that 4 out of 5 people that we meet every day is really unhappy. They're unhappy with their wife, their husband, their kids, their home, their job, their car. On and on the story goes, okay? It just seems like there's a lack of happiness and so on. Recently, 2 well-known people, if you keep up with the news, and I've always liked the newspaper. I'm sort of a news junkie and always liked the newspaper. But just recently, 2 well-known people committed suicide. One of them was a designer of handbags, well off, wealthy, if you will. Another was an actor, and on the story goes. And preacher, I read just this week, of all people that are having trouble with suicide, it's farmers. I thought, man, a farmer's so laid back and easy going, and I understand these pressures in it, waiting for it to rain, and it won't rain stuff. But farmers is a fast-growing part of this thing, and so on. How sad it is. How sad it is. Many folks forget all about what it means to live. One of the great problems is that man was created to honor and glorify God. The Bible's filled with that. In our psalm this morning, preacher covered it well the other evening. He said the Bible's about Jesus. I believe that. And years ago I read that every psalm you find Jesus in there, his work, his character, something about Jesus in every psalm. Been a lot written about this particular psalm and this particular verse that I'm working from this morning, verse number 24. A lot of folks think that it has to do with perhaps the day that Christ was crucified. He knew. I mean, it was no surprise to the Lord Jesus Christ that he was taken and hung on a cross. This is the day. But it didn't make a difference what day it was, because to him now, there's only one day, all right? This is the day the Lord hath made. I'm convinced that if we would stop as Christian people this morning and spend some time, we'd recognize that fact, all righty. Unhappiness is the most common state of mind. Snoopy, most of you know Snoopy. Some of you adults like me will read what Snoopy has to say about the subject already. Charlie Brown, Linus, Lucy all tell us that happiness is a thumb or a blanket or a warm puppy or something or other. Years ago, I remember seeing a little piece in the paper. A little 3 or 4 year old boy was sitting there about the size of preacher's youngest and sitting there with one shoe on and the other in his hand, so dejected. He said, about the time I spend all my time learning how to tie shoes, they come out with Velcro already. And he was upset about the whole deal. He was unhappy about the whole deal and so on. But my friend, listen to me. Genuine happiness is a state of contentment, a sense of well-being, not the circumstances around us already. Happiness is that inner condition that causes me to be glad that I'm alive. That inner contentment. I'm just glad I'm alive. I'm not going to let other people destroy my happiness and take away my joy and so on. I guess there's been hundreds of books and millions of words written on the subject of happiness or joy or contentment. One psychologist says there are 7 reasons for unhappiness. Let me give them to you. Guilt, that part of it, but my guilt's under the blood. You know, whenever the devil runs something past me, and I wasn't saved till I was 26, and there's been a lot of things run by me because I did a lot of things when I was first 26 years of late. But every time the devil drags something out and runs from me, I said, it's under the blood. I can't do anything. If it's already taken care of, it's already handled. But he said, 7 reasons for unhappiness is guilt. Being envious. I wished I had your nice car and you had a better one. Being envious. I know that's a nice Christian way of saying, well, I'm not sinning. I'm not envious. I'm not covetous of that fellow. Being envious. A lack of religion, or perhaps the wrong kind of religion in our life. Selfishness. You know, the flesh is selfish. The flesh is one of the most selfish things that you'll have to deal with. It really is. It truthfully is. Oh, preacher, not mine. No, you got the same kind I've got now, righty. You really is. And selfishness. I'm not giving. I worked hard for what I got and ain't give to nobody. I invited a guy to church one time, and he said, I'm not going to church. I said, sir, wouldn't you go to church? He said, you go in there, and a preacher stands up and yells at you and tells you how bad you are, and then he'll pass you off and try to get you money. I said, well, there's more to it than that, but I suppose that's one way of looking at it already. Selfishness, self-pity, being too timid, worry. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on these things, but another writer wrote, there's only 5 things you need for happiness, all righty. I told you there have been a lot of books and a lot of words written about this subject. And he said there's only 5 things needed for happiness. Youth. leaves me out. I lost that a long time ago. At 82, there ain't no way. Most everybody I meet and I always ask them the fact that if they haven't a birthday, how old they are, and I say, you're just a kid. When you get to be 82 years old, most folks are, really, when you've got to looking around. Money. Well, that kind of leaves most preachers out, preacher. If you have a lot of money, make you happy. Success. I'm sure I'm a failure in the world's eyes when they look at me and my dear wife. Living 82 years, still living a trailer and mobile home, but I want you to know we're happy as we could be with it already. Success. Good health. I lost that a long time ago, years ago. Didn't have health insurance for years and years and years and years. I really didn't. When I quit working for General Motors years ago, when I was about 28 years old, I didn't have health insurance for years and years and years, and I was getting closer to the 65 age. And I said, now I'm gonna have to give up the Lord's health program and go on the government's program. And I was a kid and somebody went down and I said, I'm not going on Medicare. They said, preacher, you have to. I said, now wait a minute. I'm not going. I said, it's kind of foolish to me to give up God's health care program and move on to the government's health care program. Needless to say, that's what I didn't have any choice. That's what I did and so on. And you know, it wasn't just a few years. I wound up with cancer. I don't think it had anything to do with it. But I believe health is important, good health. And then the last thing that this old boy said, to be happy, is to have a wife. And I thank God for mine. 63 years, we've had a wonderful life together, 63 years, and I'm grateful for that. So needs to say, ever since I was saved, been 50 plus years, I've been fairly happy. I know a lot of people that have all these things, they're still unhappy. There's no such thing as instant happiness. We got instant everything else already. Instant everything else. I not much of a cook, but I can remember when I fussed preacher about instant potatoes, but they've got some now. Don't taste bad if you fix them up right. Alrighty, I fix them up. I'm glad, by the way, I'm glad to see the vote tossed this morning. His grocery bill went down when I resigned the church, Stillwater's Baptist, first year. Those folks, every week, they brought us food and kept us. And I kept telling him, I said, man, with all the kids you got, you don't need two more. He said, we won't miss it, preacher. But I appreciate those are real special family, well as the Tidwells. Happiness must be required on a day-by-day basis. If you're going to be happy, it must be required on a day-by-day basis. Let me give you four simple things. Write them down. Write them down, especially young people, teenagers. Write them down. Four simple things today that'll keep you happy and keep you going. Four simple things. Number one, accept today as a special gift. There's a reason why it's past, present, future. Present is a special gift. Everyone likes to leave presents. Everyone, you know, it's birthday. I think a great granddaughter's having a birthday, Leah, sometime this week and so on. She's just a year old, and so on. She and Ed quite understand gifts, but they're starting her out right. They're going to give her a bunch of gifts, and we brought some for and so on. So she'll understand what gifts are. She gets a little older, and she'll be wanting more expensive ones. All right, that's just the way it goes. But today is a special day. It's not just any day. It's not just any gift. It's a day that God has given me and has given you. Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow isn't here yet. And I found out through the years that most of our problems runs like this. We spend most of our days worrying about yesterday. The problems and the decisions and the wrongs and all the rest. And we try to go back there and live in that. That's past. I tell people, I don't care what they may have done. I said, neighbor, put it under the blood and move on. All right? You can't go back and do anything about it. And if you can go back and do anything about it, then go back and fix it. I grew up in southern West Virginia, quit school when I was in 10th grade, started work on the farm, 50 cents an hour, and a general store there. I started doing a little bit of business with that old boy. And I knew I was leaving home. I hopped a Greyhound bus and headed for Chicago, Illinois when I was about 17 years old. I knew I was leaving home, preacher, so I was buying some stuff on credit from that guy at his general store, so I went and bought me a couple of shirts and a pair of pants, maybe a pair of socks, I don't remember what, probably $15, $20 worth of stuff. I left home. I never gave another thought on that man, no matter what it was, I never gave it another thought. I live, got a good job, working in Chicago, got laid off, went to Michigan, began to work in Michigan. And lo and behold, when I was 26, about 7 years later after I first left home, I was born into God's family, become a new creation in Christ. And one of the first things that come to my mind was, I owe that man that runs that store in West Virginia. I couldn't wait till I got a day or two off and headed West Virginia. Pay the. I said things that happened yesterday, if you can fix them, fix them. If you can't, put it under the blood of Christ. Don't be fretting. Don't let them ruin the rest of your life. This is a special day. This is a gift from God. I need to take advantage of this particular day. I need to honor God in everything that I say and I do. This is to be enjoyed. James 1:17 says, every perfect and every good gift comes down from above. And this day is a special gift. God's not going to give me and you something that's not good for us. So this is a special day. Don't worry about tomorrow. I'm convinced that some folks, if they don't get sick or get some dreaded disease or something happen to them, they're going to be disappointed somewhere along the way. When I was in college, I had severe headaches. I had severe headaches much of my life. Sometimes I'd go home crying with a headache from school at noon and have to go to bed and so on. And when I was in college, it got so bad that I finally went to the doctor, and long story short, they put me in a hospital overnight, and they took all kinds of x-rays in my head and my mouth and my throat and all the rest of that. And they said, you have an ulcer. I said, okay, that's fine. I don't know if I had an ulcer or not, but still had headaches and so on. But I don't know how many people I would talk to and talk a little bit about the headache and talk about an ulcer. And they said, what does ulcer feel like, preacher? I said, well, if I have one, I didn't know I had it, so I can't do it. Maybe your stomach burns a little bit. And they said, that's what's wrong with me. I've got an ulcer. I know what. Some folks are going to be disappointed if they don't catch some dreaded disease somewhere in the future. I don't know what future holds for me. I have no idea. I just know today is the day that God's given me. I'm going to enjoy it the best I can. All right. When tomorrow gets here, then I'm going to try to do the same thing tomorrow. Accept today as a special gift. Jot it down there. Young people. And most of you are younger than me, so I consider all of you younger. And we're all younger today and we'll be tomorrow. So God looks at all of us as younger people, all righty? So accept today as a special gift. Number two, quickly. Live today in gentle judgment of others. Live today in gentle judgment of others. Matthew chapter 7. I want to read you a couple of verses. I'm not going to run you all over the place today, but live today in gentle judgment of others. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 1, says this, judge not that thou be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you met, it shall be measured unto you again. Why beholdest thou the mote that's in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that's in thine own eye? Or how would thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest there trample them under the feet and turn them again. Verse 7, he says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. Live today in gentle judgment of others. It's easy for us to get to the place in our life where someone else is not doing exactly like we're doing, or acting exactly like we're doing, or talking like we're doing. We have something derogatory to say about it. We live in a perilous time in our country at this particular time. We live in at this particular time in our country when 50% is against and 50% is for. Now, I'm old enough to know that when things were a lot simpler, and I remember a time when politicians got up and fussed about the other side and called them some serious bad names, but when the election was all over, we all come together, you know, hunky dory, and everything's going to be all right, all righty, and so on. Well, that's not the case today. But you know, that philosophy has dwindled over, I'm afraid, in too many of our churches. So we ought to live today in gentle judgment of others. The Bible simply tells us here in Matthew 7, it'll come back to us. I found out years ago, what you sow, you generally reap. There's only one problem with that philosophy, and that's God's unalterable law. It'll not be changed. There's only one problem with that. I've sown enough gardens and corn and all the rest of that stuff and so on through the years to know that you always reap more than you sowed. It always comes back. So be careful when you see someone you disagree with as a Christian person. We never know what that person's going through. We never know what that person's enduring until we walk in their shoes a little ways and see what's going on. You see, we're all sinners. Preacher's already said that. We're all sinners and so on. So accept today as a special gift. Live today in gentle judgment of others. And number 30 today, write this down, number 30. Don't measure yourself by others. Don't measure yourself by others. I am what I am by the grace of God. I'm not what I am because of somebody else or somebody else. But don't measure yourself by someone else. You say, boy, God has really blessed you. What are you doing right? I'm just living for God. What difference does it make? You don't know how I live or what's behind the scenes and so on and so forth. Be careful. Don't measure yourself by others. The Bible talks a lot about this, and I'm not turning to scriptures, but Proverbs 14:30, Proverbs 27:4, and we need to be careful. We don't measure ourselves by others, you know. I don't talk like you do. I don't walk like you. I grew up in southern West Virginia, as I made mention a moment ago, and along the way, years later, God called me and directed me to the state of Illinois. Bunch of different people, wonderful people, marvelous people, but they're different people in the state of Illinois, all right. And they had a Christian school, and one of the school teachers, one of the teachers that taught school in our Christian school, was born and raised in southern Illinois there, in Peoria, Illinois. And she came to me one day before service and had some visitors and introduced me to those visitors. And she said, this is my pastor. And she said, I love him, but said, Pastor, say something. I said, what would you like for me to say? She said, I told you, you know, he talks kind of funny. He really does, you know. He's from the South. Ain't no two ways about it. She come to me later and she said, Preacher, she said, I appreciate you. And I said, well, thank you. Said, since you've been here, you've caused me to use my dictionary more than any other time in my life. Well, I'm sort of dense. I thought that's good, but why? Oh, she said, I'm trying to understand and interpret some of those things that you're saying, some of those words that you're saying, and so on. I said, well, that's probably good for both of us, all right. We need to be careful. Don't measure yourself by others. Jealousy will defeat you. Jealousy will defeat you. It'll destroy you. Old green envy, jealousy, it'll destroy you now. Oh, I wish I had that, or I'd like to have that, no, you don't. No, you don't know what that person going through to get that or to keep it and so on. And so it is. We need to be careful. Number four, quickly today. Number four. Start each day with God if you're a child of God today. Start each day with God. Job said in 22:21, acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace, thereby God will come unto you. Start each day with God. Years ago when I first started out in the ministry, I had an office. I used to go in the office of a morning and I'd read my Bible and I'd pray and, oh dear God, this is the day you've made. Now God help me, I'm yours, I'm giving myself to you, Lord. I want to honor you in everything today, Lord. Everything that I do today. So I'd finish all that spiritual stuff and finally go out and get some cards and start out on visitation. And it wasn't long till somebody would either get in front of me and slow down or stop or pull out in front of me or something. And I found out that, hey, listen, that spirituality I had in the office didn't last very long. I mean, I told that guy what for, what the thing. And I did that a time or two, and the sweet Holy Spirit of God said, you lousy hypocrite. I mean, you spend all that time in the office there and getting right with God so you can go out and make some visits and win somebody to Christ. And the first thing happens in your life when you come out of there, you're a lousy hypocrite. I said, God, please forgive me and help me be a little bit considerate of other people. We live in a day and age where road rage is running rampant. It's running rampant. I see it, and I've had to deal with myself out on the highway. Acquaint thyself with Him, with God, and be at peace, the Bible says. That's the key to all of this. That's the key to having a burning heart, the key to keeping a burning heart. The psalmist said in Psalm 55:17, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and He shall hear my voice. Four simple things today help you to have a happy day. You can't buy it. You can't work for it. You can't borrow it. You have to get away with God and say, God, help me to accept this day that You've given me as the day that You, present day, it's a gift. And Lord, help me to remember to honor You in all of it. Come, preacher, help me to honor You in everything that I say and do as a child of God. Four simple things, but I'll tell you, make a difference in your life if you'll pay attention to it. Come, preacher.
Amen. While we stand.